Today we're building a stepper transition in Ableton Live 12 with an automation-first workflow that gives you that classic jungle and old-school DNB forward motion. The big idea here is simple. Instead of throwing a giant riser at the listener and hoping it works, we're going to make the transition feel like it's driving itself. The drums keep marching, the bass gets a little more unstable, the filters open up, the space expands, and the drop feels earned. This approach is especially strong for jungle, dark rollers, and heavier DNB because it keeps the groove intact. In other words, the listener always feels the floor under them, even while the energy is rising. Start by finding the section where the track needs momentum. Usually, that's the last 8 bars before a drop, a switch up, or the next phrase. In arrangement view, duplicate your main drum and bass section into a transition lane so you can work quickly. If you like, color code your drum group, bass group, FX group, and return so the session stays easy to read. Set locators for pre-drop, transition, and drop. That alone makes the workflow feel much more intentional. For this style, 8 bars is a really good starting point. It gives you enough room to build tension without making the transition feel modern and overextended. And think in 2-bar chunks inside that 8-bar phrase. That's the stepper mindset. The groove stays in motion, but something subtle changes every couple of bars. Now, before you add any flashy effects, build the drum engine first. In DNB, the drums should be doing most of the heavy lifting. A good transition often comes from tiny rhythmic edits, not from huge sound design tricks. Take your break and put it into simpler, either in slice mode or classic mode depending on how much control you want. Add a drum bus to the group. If the break needs more bite, bring the transient up a little, maybe around 10 to 25%. Keep the boom subtle, or turn it off if your sub is already doing the low-end job. You want punch, not mud. Then start editing the break for movement. Shorten the last snare before the drop. Add a ghost kick a little early. Maybe tuck in a late hat hit. Mute one kick in bar 7 or bar 8 so the phrase feels like it's shifting. These small changes matter a lot in DNB, because rhythmic displacement often creates more excitement than a big FX explosion. Now bring in the bass, but don't treat it like a static layer. In this lesson, the bass becomes part of the transition tension. A sub-supported reese works beautifully here. Keep the sub simple and stable. Use operator for a clean sine sub, mono and centered. Then layer a reese on top, maybe with wave-eatable, using detuned saws or a stacked wave-eatable for that low-mid movement. Keep the sub and the reese separate if you can. That way you can control the mix properly. The sub should stay grounded. The reese should be the thing that opens and closes. Automate the reese's filter cutoff so it starts fairly closed and opens as the transition progresses. Depending on the sound, you might begin somewhere around 180 to 400 Hz and open toward 1.5 to 4 kHz. You can also automate saturator drive, maybe moving from 2 dB up to 6 dB as the build develops. That gives you extra harmonic pressure without needing a huge increase in volume. This is a really important mindset shift. We're not just automating effects, we're automating pressure. The listener should feel that the section is getting tighter, brighter, denser, and more urgent over time. Open up the automation lanes and map the transition in layers. Don't draw one giant upward ramp and call it done. Instead, make several smaller moves that stack together. For example, in the first 2 bars, you might slightly brighten the hats. In the next 2 bars, open the bass a bit more. Then maybe shift the drum density, add a tiny snare throw, or introduce a short delay hit. In the final bar, pull something away so the drop lands with more impact. That's what makes it feel like a stepper transition rather than a generic EDM build. A really effective move is to automate the drum bus transient in the final 2 bars. Even a small lift can make the drums feel sharper and more urgent. You can also automate auto-filter cutoff on the bass, or on the drum bus if you want the whole transition to open up. A subtle high-shelf lift on hats or atmosphere can also help the section feel brighter without adding more notes. Next, set up your returns for throws, not for permanent wash. This is key in jungle and old-school DNB. You want events-based space, not a smeary layer that blurs the break. Create one return for reverb and one for echo. On the reverb return, use something like hybrid reverb or reverb, then follow it with EQ8 to cut out the low end below around 200 Hz. You can darken the tail if needed with a filter. On the echo return, use echo, then EQ8 again to clean up the lows and highs. You can even add a touch of saturation if you want the repeats to feel dirtier. Then automate sends only on specific hits. A short reverb throw on the last snare before the drop can sound very authentic, especially for jungle. A quick echo on a rimshot or break snare can create that old-school tail without washing out the groove. The point is to use space like punctuation, not like wallpaper. At this stage, think about the mix buses too. This is where the mastering-minded part of the workflow comes in. You're not just making sounds, you're shaping how the full section translates. On the drum group, a subtle glue compressor can help hold things together. Something like a 2:1 ratio, a medium attack, and a relaxed release is usually enough. On the music or bass group, a small utility adjustment can narrow the stereo width a little if the transition is getting too wide. And if you do any processing on the master, keep it very subtle and temporary. A smart move here is to automate a small dip in the music bus just before the drop, maybe 1 to 2 dB, then let it come back at impact. That makes the drop feel bigger without making the transition louder for the sake of loudness. You can also automate a small high shelf boost on hats or atmosphere to make the top end feel more live. For an old-school jungle flavor, it helps to build a clear switch point near the end of the transition. That could be a 1-beat drum drop, a snare flam, a break chop fill, a bass mute for half a bar, or a reverse crash into the drop. But in this style, try not to overdo it with cinematic effects. Often a short break fill or a brief stop is more powerful than a massive uplifter. A classic structure might go like this. The first four bars lock into the original groove. The next two bars open the bass and brighten the drums. The seventh bar drops the kick out for half a bar and gives you a snare delay throw. And then the eighth bar strips back or pauses just enough for the new drop to slam in. That's very dance floor friendly, and it keeps the momentum authentic. Once your automation is working, resample the transition. This is a great DNB workflow move because it lets you commit to the vibe and create your own custom transition asset. Route the transition group to a new audio track, record the section, and then slice it back into the arrangement or into simpler for later use. This gives you control over the tails and timing, and it makes future arrangements faster. Let's talk about a few common mistakes. First, don't make the transition too FX heavy. If the drums and bass are strong, the FX should support them, not replace them. Second, keep the sub mono and stable. The low end is the floor of the mix. If you open it up too much, the transition loses its engine. Third, avoid one long build with no phrase changes. In this style, automation should feel like it's happening in steps every two bars or four bars. Fourth, don't let reverb smear the break. High pass your returns and keep the throws short. And fifth, don't overcompress the drum bus. You want bounce and punch, not flattened transients. If you're going for a darker or heavier DNB angle, a few extra tricks can help. You can use saturator on the bass group with soft clip enabled and a moderate drive setting for gritty mid-range weight. You can add a very subtle auto pan to hats or texture layers, but keep the kick and bass centered. You can also try roar on a parallel return for extra harmonic dirt, then blend it in quietly. Another useful move is to thin out one element right before the drop. Sometimes removing a single kick or snare hit creates more impact than adding another layer. Silence is heavy, especially in DNB. Here's a great mini exercise to try. Build an 8-bar loop with one break, one sub, and one reese. Program a simple 2-bar stepper drum pattern. Automate the reese filter from close to open across the full 8 bars. Add one reverb throw and one echo throw on the last snare before the drop. Use drum bus for a tiny transient lift in the final 2 bars. Then resample the whole thing and compare the printed version to the live version. Ask yourself which one feels tighter, clearer, and more dance-floor ready. The goal is always the same, a controlled escalation, not a generic build. So to recap, stepper transitions in DNB work best when the drums drive the tension and automation supports the groove. Keep the sub stable. Automate the reese, hats, drums, and effects in phrase-based steps. Use Ableton stock tools like Auto Filter, Drum Bus, Saturator, Utility, Glue Compressor, Echo, Reverb, EQ8, and Roar. And for jungle and old-school vibes, focus on break edits, ghost notes, short throws, and rhythmic switch points instead of huge cinematic risers. Think like an arranger, think like a mixer, and think like a mastering engineer all at once. If the transition feels strong at low volume, if the low end stays disciplined, and if every automated move serves the drop, you're on the right path. That's the stepper approach, forward motion, controlled tension, and a drop that feels properly earned.